Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our meditations on Jesus of the Gospels. We have been reflecting on the initial episode of the temptations. Jesus was baptized at Jordan, and he was declared the Son of God by the Heavenly Father through the voice that rang from the opened heaven. The Spirit led him into the desert, and we reflected on the temptations in general. What is the meaning of the desert experience? What is the meaning of the 40 days and 40 nights that Jesus spent in the desert? And who is the tempter who tried to deviate Jesus from the way marked out for him by the Father? We have seen the various implications of this episode. The Gospel of Mark tells us only about the temptation in general, that Jesus was tempted. And we have seen various instances of Jesus being tempted, the beginning, during, and at the end of his public ministry, even on the cross. If you are the Son of God, come down and we shall believe in you. That was the last temptation. In the midst of the temptation, Jesus cried out, "Everything is possible for me. Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass away from me." But he resisted, surrendering himself to the Father's will, but not as I, but as you would have it. On the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But at the same time, he did not fall victim to despair. He ended his life handing it all to the Father, saying, "Into thy hand I commend my spirit." So Jesus was tempted during and the end or throughout his public ministry. Now two Gospels, those of Matthew and Luke, take three specific events or episodes to present the picture of temptation. Three episodes reported by Matthew and Luke turn around three basic themes. The first is that of bread, the second that of miracle, and the third that of power. Today we want to concentrate on the first temptation, the temptation that centered around bread. First, let us read the episode, then try to reflect on it. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." The suggestion and the answer. This temptation, this report in just two or three verses have various levels of meaning. Some very evident, very superficial and obvious to the eye. But some other levels are a bit deeper. Let us reflect, let us see what are the different levels of this temptation. What is it aimed at and how does Jesus respond? And what does it mean to us today, the temptation of turning stones into bread? The context is very apt. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was famished. The RSV translation is like that. He was hungry is the normal translation. A hunger of 40 days, lack of food, can imagine is very serious, very severe hunger. And the first thing one would think of is bread, food. So the tempter brings the idea of food to a person who is hungry. And the person is reminded that he has the power to produce bread. The temptation is centered around the power of Jesus as the Son of God. if you are the Son of God. This points back to the declaration that rang out from the opened heaven in Jordan over Jesus. You are the Son, the Beloved. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We are sure this is the word of God the Father. And Jesus is declared as his beloved Son. In the Gospel of Matthew, it was presented as a public declaration. This is my beloved Son. Now that declaration is put into question. If that declaration is true, if what you heard, what you become aware of is true, then you have the power. You have the power to do anything and everything you want. Now, what you need the most is bread, because you are hungry. You have been fasting for so long. You are famished. Without bread, you can't survive. The most basic need for you today, now, is bread. Make it. These are stones, and the stones in the desert of Judea, very often they look like bread, like loaves of bread. Even today, we can see such stones. So turn these loaves of stones into loaves of bread. Turn stone into bread. You have the power. Why don't you do it? If you are the Son of God, you have the power. Turn it into bread and eat it and satisfy yourself. The first level of temptation is this. The power that is unique to Jesus as the Son of God is to be used for his own purpose, first of all, to satisfy his physical hunger. If you have the power, use it for yourself. But that is not the only thing. This turning stones into bread can have much more implications. The answer of Jesus also is pointing to the answer, to the various levels and various implications of this temptation. Jesus quotes from the book of Deuteronomy and says, man does not live on bread alone, but of every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. So bread is not sufficient. Now let us see what other implications this bread has. Turning stones into bread in the desert, not only for Jesus' personal satisfaction, it should be a kind of fulfillment of all the prophecies. So for example, in Isaiah chapter 49, verses 9 and 10, they shall feed along the ways. On all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst. Neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them down. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. People in the desert will be fed by the Messiah. And this feeding in the desert points back to the Exodus event reported in the book of Exodus, chapter 16. We know the people coming out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, they enter the desert of Sinai, and they have nothing to eat. People are hungry, and they clamor, they ask for bread, and Moses doesn't know what to give them. The people are angry, they are hungry, and they curse Moses and his God, and Moses doesn't know what to do. It is in this context of desperate need of the people that God tells Moses that he will open the heavens and shower down manna from heaven. In chapter 16, we have the report of manna, the bread given from heaven. This is what the tempter is asking now. You are in the desert. You can make bread. You can multiply bread miraculously. Not only for your need. You know, people are hungry all over the world. Ever more hungry people are there. And if you are going to be the Redeemer, if you are going to the Savior, save the people from the hunger. First, what they need is bread. The hunger of the body. satisfy the basic need of food, clothing, shelter, the material needs. Only when the material needs are satisfied, you can speak about a spiritual need. First, the body has to be looked after. And if you are the Redeemer, if you are the Savior, then you can do it. And unless and until you do it, you are not going to bring any good news, any message of good news to the people. So now you have the power. Test it, try it. If you are not mistaken, then you will be able to do it. And before you encounter the people with your public ministry, you prove it to yourself that you have the power, that your God will be with you as the Father who declared you as the Son. And also the focus of the temptation is the power of Jesus as the Son of God, your identity and the role of your messiahship. How are you going to be a messiah? How are you going to be a savior unless you give food to the hungry? This has been what people were waiting for. This is how Moses was declared as the leader. When Moses did succeed in giving them bread from heaven in the desert, they acknowledged him as the leader. So now, in the desert, produce bread. Besides, if you have this power and you prove it to yourself that you can produce bread out of stones, then you have the control of the people. Everybody will come after you. People will depend on those who give them bread. And those who do not give food or bread, nobody would matter. Nobody would care. So now prove it to yourself. Bread will be your weapon. Bread will be your staff, your rod of power. You can control the world. You will be the master of the world. You will be the Lord. The role of bread. And this has been throughout the centuries, even now, more than any time in the history. Bread has become the source of power, source of control over others. Religious groups, political groups, international corporations, all play on the power of bread. Give bread to control the people. To give bread to convert the people. To give bread to keep people under your leadership, under your power. And this has become all the more important in the last decades, or the last years of our present age. The multinational corporations who are controlling the production and distribution of the entire agricultural goods, food material, grains, has understood the power of this temptation, the power of bread. It has been said, bread is more powerful than atom bombs. Bread can be a greater weapon than any other destructive weapons. Bombs destroy, bread sustain. But without bread, nobody can live. So if you have the control of the bread, you have the control of the people. That's what the multinational corporations have understood now. Control the bread, control the production of bread. Then you have the control over all the world. That's how it seems they have invented new grains, new seeds, and these seeds are patented with the intellectual property right. The new seeds cannot be produced by unauthorized agencies. The farmers who buy their seeds cannot reproduce those seeds. They have to always depend on those who produce the seeds. And a time will come when only these seeds will be grown. These will be seeds will be sown and grown all over the world. And you have the power. And you see how easily you can control the world. How easily you can control the whole humanity. So this is the temptation. Ask these stones to turn into bread. And you will be the Messiah. So various levels of this temptation points to one particular thing. Man, humanity, is reduced to materiality. Your body and the needs of your body, maybe even the mind, but not of the soul. Jesus sees through this temptation, temptation of reducing humanity into just body and bodily needs, on which the present society, present cult and culture of consumerism is thriving, making humanity, human person, just body alone. That's how Jesus responds. Jesus response is, one does not live by bread alone. It is taken from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 10, tells us the story of the temptations the people had been through, the way the Lord had been guiding the people in the desert, how they were tested, how they were tempted, how they were also kept alive in the desert. In chapter 8, verses 2 to 3, we read, remember the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Man needs more than bread. Man has to transcend the needs of the body. Of course, the bodily needs have to be fulfilled, but man cannot be reduced to this body and its needs and its feeding. There is much more to it. And that more is the Word of God that relates you to God, that allows you to transcend this body, this world, and its needs. So Jesus is focusing his attention on the true nature of man as a spiritual being, as a person related to God. Only in the Father's house will you have true freedom, true peace, and fulfillment. So man cannot be reduced to the needs of the matter. But at the same time, Jesus is also aware that persons need bread. Of course, he was born in a town called Bethlehem. And we all know the meaning of the word Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. Beth means house, Lehem means bread. So Jesus was born in the house of bread. And as a child, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and he was laid in a manger. Manger where the fodder for the cattle is kept. So the one who is born in the house of bread is laid in the manger. And later on he will say, take and eat, this is my body given for you. I am the bread of life, come down from heaven. Your fathers ate manna in the desert, but they died. Those who eat this bread will live forever. So Jesus presented himself as the bread. So he is aware of the need of bread, not only for the body, but also for the soul. He would give bread. We know the story of the multiplication of bread. Matthew and Mark report the episode twice. Once he fed more than 5,000 people and other times more than 4,000 people. This episode is reported by John and Luke once, feeding in the desert 5,000 people. And now, before he multiplied the bread in the desert, Jesus asked them to contribute their share, what you have with you. Jesus did not just turn the stones into bread. He had no easy way. He did not take the easy way. He did not want to feed the people with the stones. Jesus said, which father among you would give a stone to the son who asked for bread? That's what the tempter says. Eat, take and eat the stone, it will turn bread in your mouth. No, Jesus did not turn the stones into bread. He asked, what do you have? How much do you have? Bring and share. To make people eat bread, he doesn't use any magical power. He doesn't monopolize the bread. He doesn't take bread as a power, as an instrument of domination. Instead, he is asking, give out. Don't hoard up. Don't keep in. Bring and give what you have. And they said, we have just 5 loaves. Okay, if it is 5, bring 5. Whatever you have, give it. And that will be multiplied in God's hands. So they brought the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and this kept on multiplying in the hands of Jesus to satisfy the need of all, and there was still plenty left. So what is the implication? The bread is not to be made an instrument of power and domination. Bread is something to be shared. You have to work for your bread. You have to sweat. Eat the bread from the sweat of your brow. That was the command given to the first man that continues even today. Don't look for easy way of dominating people by giving bread. Don't try to convert people by giving them bread. Bread should be given as a sign of service, as a help, not for convincing people of something, not by controlling them through unseen strings. John the Baptizer, when he came and proclaimed, it was Gospel of Luke, we have already seen, produce the fruits of repentance. And what is this fruit of repentance? Fruits of repentance is sharing, love and sharing. Sharing your food, sharing your clothing. Those who have 2 clothes, 2 shirts, give one to the other who has nothing. And those who have bread also should share. If you have more bread in your kitchen, give to those who have none. But don't try to make a miraculous way of multiplying bread and producing easy bread in order to control others. So bread has to be a means of sustenance, keeping alive, sharing, but not of domination. But again, this is not all. Man does not live from bread alone. Our importance as sons of God, as spiritual beings related to God, adopted as sons and daughters of God, our attention should go transcend these material needs. So this is a challenge, and this is also a denial of the present day consumerism, a cult of consumption, a cult of power coming through the control of production. So the temptation in the first episode has its deeper roots, introducing humanity into just an object of consumption, a person being reduced to his bodily and material needs alone. And Jesus is asking to transcend these needs. Go higher. Turn your attention to the Father. And he will say, look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field. Who feeds them? Who clothes them? So don't be anxious about your food or your clothing. Life is more than bread. Body is more than clothing. The Father will give you this. But first you have to depend on Him. First you have to look for the kingdom of God and its justice. And eventually Jesus will turn into bread. And He will become the bread of life when He breaks Himself. It was what He did at the Last Supper. He did not turn a stone into bread. He turned His body into bread. He took the bread, broke it, and gave it to the people, saying, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. So that is the option Jesus takes at the first temptation, to break himself as bread rather than turn stones into bread. Now let us conclude this meditation with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son from heaven as our bread of life. Jesus, we thank you for turning into our bread to sustain us, to strengthen us, to give us life and lead us to the Father. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit. In the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit.